I'd like to just start and say something that I'm sure is just obvious to all of us, that we're living in a world that is just going through such rapid change that we really do think that it's in the interest of independent bookstores and independent publishers to figure out what it is we can do to work more closely together. We play a pretty unique role in the marketplace in helping consumers discover new titles. And certainly being able to discover your titles is precisely at the heart and the wheelhouse of what it is that we want to do. And I'm sure it hardly comes as a surprise to this audience that this world that we live in is changing so fast, so quickly. Certainly, I've been in this business now for 20-odd years, and it would be impossible ever even remotely to remember a time in which the rate of change was nearly as fast as it is today. As I said, and I've been traveling this fall. This is the season in our business of regional book trade shows. There are 8 of them around the country. And as I travel at those shows, one of the things, of course, I like to do, and one of the things that's probably the best part of my job, is I get to visit bookstores. And as I've visited stores this fall, and I've seen the titles on the staff pick sections and on the staff pick tables, and I've seen the face out and I've seen the shelf talkers, I'm reminded about that really important relationship that exists between publishers and booksellers. In every store I visited, the commitment to promoting favorite independent titles was very, very clear from coast to coast. Helping curate that content is what is at the wheelhouse of what independent bookstores do, and it's never been more important or more relevant as we function and operate today. And of course, it's not surprising that your commitment and skill as publishers is that natural complement to what we do as retailers. And we share, of course, a long history of collaboration where independent booksellers and independent publishers are allies. And my message here today is I think there are lots of opportunities for us to build on that partnership and do even better together. In the best sense of the word, independent publishers and booksellers have a symbiotic relationship. Your titles play an incredibly important role in helping our members offer that distinct, unique group of titles for readers and book buyers. And though it's through our channel, as I'll point out, that the public continues to have the best way to discover new books and new titles. Now, it would be a absurd understatement not to acknowledge that we all face some significant challenges in today's world, economic, social, technological. None of us, or most of us in this room, don't have budgets for national advertising buys, and it's unlikely that a lot of the things that we do get reported on national television or on the front pages of newspapers. But from the perspective of our members, I strongly believe, along with those challenges that we're all facing, come some real incredible opportunities. At ABA, we believe that in many ways there is, in fact, a renaissance in independent bookselling. I can tell you that the state of independent bookstores is strong. Over the network of indie stores that report to our weekly bestseller list, unit sales are up over 12% in 2012 from 2011. The trend of closing of independent bookstores has stopped, and for the past 3 years, we have seen a modest growth in membership at the American Booksellers Association. And new stores have opened in every region in the country. I just came from a meeting in Southern California where I met with 2 new stores, brand new stores, opening this fall. And I know this is contrary to some of the popular narrative that often gets described about bricks and mortar physical stores. Somehow the you've got mail mindset seems to be difficult to be forgotten. But in fact, I can tell you, at least as far as our channel is concerned, it simply isn't true. We've had a good year, and we have reason to believe that we're going to continue to have good time in front of us. Now, these successes obviously are a result of our members' extraordinary entrepreneurship, their commitment to innovation, and their continuing willingness and need and understanding about growing and changing their stores and adapting to all of these changes that we're describing. Our members have told us that providing the tools to participate in this change and to be able to be equipped to deal with the change and to provide the kind of professional education is absolutely what we as a trade association try to do and what it is we do. Some of you may know that we now run an annual educational summit, our Winter Institute. We'll be having its eighth year in Kansas City this February, and for the seventh year in a row, it is filled to capacity. The three-day event features, among other programming, 20 educational sessions providing hands-on information for stores to be more effective and more efficient and more profitable in coping with all the changes that are surrounding us. If you have and are participating, we're delighted that you are, and I can tell you that we have multiple opportunities for small presses to be part of the Winter Institute. We believe your participation in that event, your participation with our channel, provides lots of opportunities, and we hope that if you aren't participating, you'll seriously think about doing it in the future. In addition to the Winter Institute, we operate a series of shorter specialty institutes, ranging from our children's bookselling program, our Indie Commerce session, an event we did in conjunction with one of the regional shows in Minneapolis and training stores to run better events, as well as the programming that we have done each year at Book Expo America. We hope you'll participate in some of that programming. Your colleagues and your partners in the retail community know that the collaboration with independent publishers is indispensable to our success. You know, we're committed to trying to figure out how to innovate and how to change and adopt. Very soon, as I'm sure some of you know, that we've entered into an agreement with Kobo, and more than 400 independent booksellers all across the country will be selling state-of-the-art e-readers and e-books, offering their consumers an easy way to access digital content if they want to. Now, in seeking a new e-book solution, ABA's view is really is very clear. We know that some of our members' customers, some of the time, are reading digitally. And we needed to provide a solution that allows independent bookstores to stay in the game by selling both the content as well as the devices. What we learned in our experiment with Google over the past few years with Google eBooks was that there's a real consumer disconnect between being able to sell digital content and being able to sell the hardware, and why the solution we've working with now with Kobo allows our members both to sell the hardware as well as selling the content. We think this is the way we can remain relevant and part of this changing world. Now, I should be clear about it, too, that from the outset, we've consistently said and believe that the overwhelming lion's share of what it is our members are going to sell is going to continue to be print books. We don't expect our stores to become e-book emporiums by any stretch of the imagination. Our partnership with Kobo, in which bookstores do sell both the devices and the content, is not designed by any means to change what bookstores do, nor do any of us believe that it should change what bookstores do. The partnership is really designed to help customers retain their customers, because we know a certain number of avid readers, all readers, are reading digitally, and we want those customers to continue to come in to our stores, to attend our events, to buy more of your print books from us. We firmly believe this is really a question of intelligently implementing technology in order to help us remain viable and focused on our central mission, which is to help connect authors and readers. But in a time of change, it would be impossible to sit still We just don't think we can, or should we? I mentioned earlier the round of fall trade shows, and I could tell you, and I know some of you were at some of those shows this fall, there was really a striking optimism amongst our members, in part, obviously, because of the extraordinary wealth of new titles that are being published this fall, but also, increasingly, because our consumers are voting with their wallets on behalf and shopping in independent stores, recognizing that independent stores offer that unique and unquestionable value. Now, there are a bunch of reasons for the strong sales in our channel this year. It would be disingenuous not to acknowledge that the closing of borders played a role. Of course, it's jolting news in any industry when a large company closes. And, of course, we were saddened, like everyone else, that as many people lost their jobs as borders closed. But we never believed that the closing of borders was a bellwether for the future of or the strength of bricks-and-mortar stores. And clearly, the closing of borders has led to opportunities for many of our members who have expanded and opened stores in former borders locations. Many of our stores sent out a clear message to consumers that said that we're still here. Many borders customers, particularly at holiday gift-giving time, have found a new home in independent bookstores. When we track those weekly sales from the stores that report to our weekly bestseller list through BookScan, we saw the greatest spikes over the holidays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduations. We, in those days, I said we had about a 12% increase in sales over the calendar year. On those weekends and those weeks, we had close to a 25% increase, clearly attributed to former Borders customers finding a home in an independent bookstore. In addition to the closing of borders, there is no doubt that the democratization of technology has enabled our members to compete far more smartly, far more efficiently, both in analytics, in sales, marketing tools have become so much more affordable, and that members of ours can do some of the same things, frankly, that some of our big box competitors could do in the past because of the expense. Thirdly, and I think really importantly, we've really reached a tipping point in the United States in the shop local, local first movement. Customers across the country really now understand. They understand two really important features of localism. First, more and more customers realize that independent businesses that contribute so much more that make their communities distinct and unique. And those stores need to get sustained by their support and by their purchases. And second, we've been able to convey to them that the bottom line in reality is that independent, locally owned businesses contribute far more to the economic health of their communities. The latest research, and some of you may have seen, we've done a whole series of new studies in about seven more communities to complement some of the work that's been done over the past 2 years, shows that in metro areas nationwide, independent businesses, and I'm not just talking about independent bookstores, I'm talking about all independent businesses, keep 3.3 times as much revenue in the local economy as do our chain competitors. For the last three holiday seasons, we've measured the sales in independent stores in active shop local, local first communities and compared them to those sales in communities without such. And for 3 years in a row have demonstrated, in fact, those stores in active shop local, local first communities have had significantly better, 7 or 8% significantly better increase in sales. This is real. This is happening. Localism matters. I suppose that the best indication of that, I'm sure maybe some of you don't hang out in Walmarts very often, but you may have seen the big banners that they now put over the produce section that say local. In fact, the greenwashing of localism, the adoption of localism by many big box competitors clearly reveals that localism is connecting with millions and millions of consumers. But perhaps the most important reason for the strong state of independent sales and across the channel of our stores, is something that's the most closely wedded to what is our common mission. In the midst of this ever-growing media landscape, bookended by the hundreds of thousands of new titles being published and the hundreds of thousands of tweets that probably will get sent sometime in the next few minutes, it's the independent bookstore experience that provides that curated and knowledgeable inventory for readers. Only in independent stores do they consistently find the pleasure of discovery and the support of knowledgeable booksellers, as well as the community of other passionate readers. The data tells us, and has now been fairly consistent, that approximately a third of readers learn about new books in a bricks-and-mortar store, while the online channel represents about 9% of discovery. Yet the data also shows some challenges for us, and I believe some challenges for you. While about a fifth of consumers say they prefer shopping in indie bookstores, more than 25% say they are buying the titles recommended in our stores from an online source, resulting in a substantial amount of lost revenue to our channel. Now, within our channel, online sales have gone up and gone up significantly, close to 60% this past year. But it would be disingenuous not to acknowledge that showrooming has become a critically important component of what's going on in our stores, not just in independent bookstores, but across the network of bricks and mortar stores, as consumers use stores as places to look at product in which they elect to buy elsewhere. In the face of, though, some of the positive signs, it would be disingenuous for me to suggest that we don't have some challenges and competitive issues that we are dealing with. In lots of the country, the economic headwinds continue to blow against us, and consumers remain very, very cautious. Accessing capital for small business has always been a daunting task, and in this economy continues to be the case. But overall, the trends are, in fact, positive, and we believe in these trends and in these challenges there are some opportunity. Many of the titles on your lists are the beneficiaries of that passionate hand-selling, which is as it should be. But this, you know, might be the right time to acknowledge what is also an elephant, I would imagine, in this room. While we realize that our avid readers, our best customers, are exactly the customers you're trying to reach, we also recognize that at times it's been difficult to getting some of your titles into our member stores. There are lots of reasons for this, but in the business environment that is changing at the rate in which it is, I think the right thing to do today is to look forward, not to look back. So the question that I put to you is how can we together design a business model that would give independent publishers and independent bookstores the best possible opportunity for success, and what would that model look like? Some of you may know that this call to dialogue and discovery has been a goal of mine since I became the ABA CEO a few years ago. We believe that developing creative new business models is absolutely the linchpin in shaping a sustainable bookselling model for the 21st century. As it doesn't come as a surprise to you, for the most part, as an industry, we have continued to operate using a business model that's gone largely unchanged for some 60-odd years. Clearly, our central mission can't change. We still very much want to be able to read and hand-sell the titles that we're passionate about, but today we no longer have the luxury to employ business models that don't meet the challenges of a radically different social, technological, and business environment. I know that innovation is a goal that you share, and is shared by many of your colleagues in the larger corporate publishing houses. After challenging the larger houses at ABA's annual meeting back in 2011 to work with us to develop new templates for sustainable business models for the 21st century, Many of them, frankly, did just that. The result, as some of you know, was a number of experiments involving independent booksellers of all sizes nationwide. Some of these tests are ongoing. Some of them are confidential, have not been described publicly. But what I can tell you, that these tests involved a range of intriguing new ideas, including consignment arrangements, extended dating on invoices, publisher rebates for sales of selected titles, trading co-op in return for title placement in stores for broader representation of your inventory, focused category promotions, new ways of bundling ebooks and print books, and many, many, many more. Some of these experiments were successful, some less so, and some of them, and many of them, are ongoing as we speak today. But it's important for me to point out that some of the things that we've learned from these tests are, in fact, helping stores sell a larger number of books from the titles and under these new experiments. Now, I should also tell you that, in part related to this, there's been a really important new development, at least as it relates to the American Booksellers Association. The Federal Trade Commission has issued a new ruling, in part in recognition of the importance of bricks-and-mortar stores in exposing product to consumers. ABA, for the first time, under the antitrust laws, is in fact able to have direct conversations with suppliers about trade terms. Now, the FTC ruling hinges on the fact that our market share is less than 20% of the total, and when the ABA leadership and I met with publishers telling them about this new ruling, we said that we dearly love the time would come in which we can't have this conversation with you again. But at the moment, since we are less than 20% of the market, it is perfectly permissible under the antitrust laws for us to have direct conversations about what kind of innovations we can engage in that will help you and us be more profitable and successful. The first direct example of this new dialogue is something some of you may have heard about, is the first multi-publisher promotion that we are doing this November 24th in conjunction with American Express's Small Business Saturday. The program offered to our members gives bookstores an opportunity to feature titles in which they will gain some extra discount, allowing them, if they choose, to offer that extra value to their customers on a list of about 60 titles that we picked from our Indie Next list that had been recommended and voted on by our members. The timing, of course, is connected to American Express's Small Business Saturday. As you know, the last 2 years, American Express spent an avalanche of money in national consumer advertising, urging the public to shop in locally owned independent businesses on Small Business Saturday to enormous success the first 2 years, and we're anticipating even greater success in 2012. Hundreds of our stores are participating in this, and we clearly hope that we're going to both be able to provide some value to our customers, but frankly, more importantly to us, to be able to demonstrate to our colleagues in the publishing community the critical, indispensable role that our stores play in moving the needle on this group of titles. And we hope that our Thanks for Shopping Indie promotion will lead to other similar promotions that we hope many of you will want to participate with us. I know it was probably lost in some of the other media yesterday involving some two particularly large publishing houses, but yesterday Penguin announced publicly that as the result of the tests that they had been engaged with us, in fact, are launching a national effort to create a whole new set of business terms for independent bookstores. I would urge you to take a look at what Penguin's doing. Random House has also announced yesterday, kind of peculiar that both of those announcements happened when something else was going on, but that both of those developments, I think, are really indicative as to how, in fact, the large corporate houses are understanding what role we play, certainly given the relationship and the connection between indie bookstores and indie publishers. We ought to be figuring out ways in which we can work more closely together. You know, I began my job as CEO at ABA with a belief that's just only gone stronger and during my tenure, that while lots of dimensions of bookselling are changing, our best days really are still ahead of us. There are innovative and profitable ways for us to move ahead into the 21st century, but it really does require us to figure out how we can work together. The solutions in selling e-books, in inventing and reinventing new ways to do business together are there. But I really believe that we, booksellers and publishers, need to work together and commit ourselves to a robust communication and appropriate collaboration to make these things happen. And it's because of that I really was grateful to Kent for the opportunity to be able to be here today. So the question I put before you, how do we do a better job together? What is it that we, as ABA, at independent bookstores, can do, as I have suggested to some of your colleagues in the larger houses? How can we work together and fashion new business models that will help ensure our mutual success? And acknowledging that bricks and mortar stores and the showrooming of books do play an indispensable role in the sale of books across the broad section of way in which consumers access books. Together, I think if we can do that, we can continue this dialogue that will help us more effectively sell more of your books. The alternative to do nothing just seems to me not really to be an option. The worst that can happen is that we can discover some things may not work, but that gives us an opportunity to look at things that do work. I don't think we can not try to figure out how to work together. I thank you for being here. Appreciate the opportunity.